them in a second, but off the ice we go as Arthur Staple from Newsday joins us. He covers the New York Islanders. And Arthur, where I want to start is yesterday the National Hockey League's Board of Governors approving the new owners for the Islanders pending the completion of the deal. What do we know about the new owners, and what do we know about the arrangement they're going to have with Charles Wong?
Well, I think we know that these two guys, John Ledecky and Scott Malkin, have plenty of money, which is first and foremost when you're buying an NHL team. I think that was part of the problem with Andrew Barraway, who was the previous main suitor for the Islanders, that the money just wasn't there, and Charles Wong was looking for a little bit more, and he was able to get it from these two guys. Scott Malkin is the European-based multi-millionaire, so I think he's got a lot of the change, and John Ledecky is a former executive with the Caps. He was part of their initial group with Ted Leonsis to purchase them back in the late 90s, so he's got some experience being involved with a hockey team. I think the two of them together seem like they have the interest and they have the cash, and you know, they're going to come in as minority partners for the next 2 years, and then they'll take over a significant majority interest. Charles Wong, I think, will have a nominal interest still, but however long that lasts going forward from 2 years from now remains to be seen. But, you know, I think the Islanders are financially secure for a long time to come thanks to this deal.
What is the play here for the two new owners? I mean, we often talked about the Lighthouse Project out in Nassau County, and now the team's moving to Brooklyn. What's so... I mean, it's a good team. It's a good young team. At least it appears that way on paper. What's so valuable for them to get involved at this time?
I think being in Brooklyn, the Barclays Center, the building they're moving to, their executive group is taking over the business side of operations. But I think there's a guaranteed amount of money there that the owners of the team can make with any, plenty more to be made if the team can make the playoffs and win a round or two. And yeah. I just think, there's other opportunities there. Being in Brooklyn, being in a newer building, being away from the quagmire of Nassau County that's kind of ensnared this team in a bit of a downward spiral the last two decades, that, I think there's a lot more positives going forward with this team than the many, many negatives of the last 20, 25 years.
One last one on this. There's no reason to think this deal will not be completed, right? There's no... sense of something out there that this is a straight business transaction. It's been approved by the Board of Governors. It's going to happen?
I think so. Unanimously approved. I think a lot of the other owners know John Ledecky and know that he's a very ardent proponent of the NHL and wants to be involved. And, I think, Charles Wong has been looking to sell for a few months seriously and for the last couple of years a little more vaguely. But I think this is what he wants. And, what he wants, he's a longtime business partner with the NHL, with New Line, the company that streams all the games on NHL.com. So there's a lot of business arrangements between the league and Charles Wong. They want him to be happy, and if this is what he wants, then I think the league is happy with it. So I can't see any impediments to this going forward.
It's the Big Show, Rob Kern, Pat Steinberg, our guest, Arthur Staple from Newsday. We're talking about the New York Islanders. Pat?
Arthur, with this team now set to move to Brooklyn, I'm curious as to what the – is there a more promising feel around the New York Islanders and the future of this organization?
I think so. I think people are pretty excited. The move is going to create some new fans, I think, in Brooklyn. And I think the way that they've structured themselves this offseason with the move that Garth Snow made, I think it's been a more competitive camp. I think they're not ready to sort of rest on their laurels of, putting together some good draft picks and trying to have them succeed. I think there's a real competition for spots, and they've got some real talent and goal finally. So, I think for them, the hope is they can, finally take that next step that they thought they were going to take last year.
So how much a part of the future plans, now knowing that a new ownership group is on board, is the man you just mentioned? How much in the plans is Garth Snow going forward?
I think they have to win in these next couple of years for him to have a significant role going forward, and I think he knows that. I think the group that he's put together knows that, and I think they've had some initial meetings with the new owners as far as the front office goes, but I don't think anything significant has been decided yet. So
So we'll have to see what happens these next couple of seasons while Charles Wong is the majority owner and maybe even a little bit beyond. I think if this team can put a successful product out there, you know, on a consistent basis with the core that they have, it certainly seems feasible with some of the guys that they have. But if they're able to do it, and I think he gets to stick around at least for a little while, and if he can't do it, then I think it's going to be a situation where it's more like some other franchises where there'll be a little bit more of a deadline involved.
So it's not set in stone that Charles Wong and Garth Snow are attached at the hip, though?
And I think it's, you know, the perception is obviously that Garth has survived quite a bit with only a couple of seasons in the playoffs and his 9 years running the team. But I think, you know, by virtue of the fact Charles is going to be stepping away and, you know, a percentage-wise the next 2 years, but then in a majority way, I think the situation is there that if they're not completely successful and the new owners don't like what they see, you know, they might have to make a change. It might be a situation where they just beef up front office because it's been, you know, pretty spare during the last year's Charles Wong's tenure. So, you know, maybe they'll just add more people, more minds. And I think nothing has really been decided yet. I think these are two owners that are waiting for the process to go through before they try to make any assessments like that.
Arthur Staple, our guest from Newsday, you just brought up something that I've never heard anybody talk about the Islanders in that regard. The new analytics that we're talking about, everybody, you know, seemingly coming, you know, aware of this summer. What about, you know, support? We know that, you know, Doug Waite's there, but what is the hockey operations department like in New York? It sounds to me it's very bare bones. Do they have analytics people? Do they have, you know, lots of people in their hockey ops departments like other teams have seemingly added here in the last couple of seasons?
I mean, I think they've beefed up their player development. They've got Eric Cairns. They've got Marty Reasoner, who's a former longtime NHLer, who joined as a development guy. But I think as far as the analytics go, they've had someone doing their own numbers for even predating Garth Snow's tenure there. I think at the end of the Mike Milbury era, there was someone brought in, and, you know, it's kept very hush-hush like it is in a lot of other places around the league. But they do have someone who does numbers for them, and it may not seem it with the results on the ice, but they do have their own people, and they've had them for a long time.
Meanwhile, on the ice, how would you characterize the training camp for the Islanders to this date?
I think it's been competitive. You know, I think in years past, I suppose if they had the likes of prospects like Ryan Strome and Anders Lee and Griffin Reinhardt and Ryan Pulock, those guys would be ticketed for spots, and they'd live with some of the mistakes. But considering all the people that they added this offseason, and how serious they are about winning now, I think the impetus is on all guys, young and old, that they have to have done something these 2 weeks to win a job. And, you know, I've certainly written about it a lot, and it's been much discussed on social media that Ryan Strome doesn't have a secure spot in the top 12 right now up front, and Griffin Reinhardt doesn't have a secure spot in the top six defense, which are two things that I think everybody thought would definitely occur, given what Reinhardt did in the Western League last year and what Strome did in his half a season in the NHL and half an all-star season in the minors. So, you know, I think the competition is there. It may come as a bit of a surprise to some longtime fans who are used to seeing their prospects put in maybe even a little too early. But I think it's just a different sort of camp. The pressure is on the coaching staff. The pressure is on the front office. You know, this is the last year on Long Island. There's a transition to a new ownership group. I think there's a lot of forces at work that says this team has to be good right out of the gate, and I don't think they can live with mistakes with guys that may not quite be ready. So it's been competitive in that respect, and I think there's still some decisions to be made, but two preseason games left to go.
Arthur Staple from Newsday, our guest. Just a couple more, and I know it's preseason, and sometimes judging veterans in preseason is a little bit difficult, but your thought on Grabowski and Kuhlman, kind of an interesting tandem, come in at you know, the same age, same time, that sort of thing. How have they looked in camp?
I think they've had their moments. You know, I think Nikolai Kuhlman is the sort of guy that, you know, not a guy that I saw a lot, but he's a dependable guy. He's going to be where he needs to be. He's a lot thicker, a lot tougher physically than I think a lot of people can know. He shows he has some speed. You know, I think the two of them have played a couple games together and a couple games apart. Grabowski obviously brings the speed as well. Grabowski's been tried on the wing with John Tavares one night, tried on the wing on another night. I think he's going to be back to center. So I think you'll see those two guys playing together on a second line with an as-yet-to-be-determined winger. But you know, they give them some depth and some options behind John Tavares that they just haven't had the last few years. You know, Franz Nielsen had a big year last year, kind of a breakout offensive year, but he seems better suited to that number three center role. And, you know, I think there's things that are finally falling into place for this team with the additions of Grabowski and Kuhlman. Whether they can rekindle their 2010-11 offense remains to be seen, but I think even something below that, you know, if Kuhlman can give them 17, 18, 20 goals, I think that would still be a huge boost to a team that's relied so heavily on John Tavares the last few years.
And that's where my last question goes. John Tavares coming off the injury from the Olympics. Arthur, is he a guy that is now to a point where, you know, he doesn't come in and add anything or wow you anymore, that he's, you know, has established him, he's kind of in the prime, or has he brought something to this camp that maybe is a little different or stands out for you?
I mean, you know, he's a guy who's only 23. You know, he sees himself as someone who's still growing and learning. And I think, you know, having missed the final 22 games of last season with the knee injury suffered over the Olympics, I think, you know, and some of the negative comments that came after that about, you know, NHL players playing in the Olympics, sure. I think he felt like he needed to come back not just at full strength, but better than he'd been to kind of placate. Whether it's Garth Snow, I think they had a little bit of a difference of opinion about NHL players playing in the Olympics. But, you know, I think just to show the fans that he's dedicated to being an Islander, and, you know, he still wants to be the guy that leads the team out of the darkness and into some sort of, you know, sustained success. You know, and even through four of the preseason games that he's played, he played a lot better last night in Boston than he had in the previous three, just shaking off the rust. But he's not satisfied, and he wants to be better, and he wants to be dominant and compete for a scoring title and compete for MVP. And, you know, I don't think anybody has any worries about him, even if they haven't quite seen the best of him just yet in the preseason. So, you know, he'll be leading the charge, and he's taken the mantle second year as captain. And, it's hard to find anything wrong with his game because he's the one who'll find it first. And, you know, I think that dedication is something that Islander fans love to see. And I think his teammates know that, you know, if your best player is the one who's working the hardest, you got to follow along. So, you know, maybe this is the year where he leads them to something big.
Arthur, always appreciate the time. Thanks for giving us a little insight on the Islanders today.
Anytime, guys. Thanks. Take care.